In the future, we will be living on Mars in glass houses. There will be a glass bubble over the whole city and lots of green plants for oxygen. Earth will be a factory planet. No one will live there.
In the future, I think people will have ways to go all over the universe just to go on vacation.
In the year 2000, there will be people living on the moon. They will live there all the rest of their lives. The moon will have all the comforts of home. Pools, tennis, golf, a baseball diamond, basketball courts too. There will be new activities such as moon bounce. You'll jump across the moon's surface, reaching heights of about 100 feet.
In the future, the walls of your house will be able to change colors to match your thoughts. Like, if you're mad and you go into your bedroom, the walls will look like red flames. Or, if you are lying on your bed and thinking about the beach, the wall will look like waves.
In the future, the good things will be better, and the bad things may be worse. If the future is going to learn from the past, then I think the future is going to be good.
Those visions of the future are by past reading, writing, and radio listeners. But what do you foresee or want to have happen?
S-P-A-C-E. That is correct. Now spell Earth.
E-A-R-T-H.
E-A-R-T-H. You are right.
Hi, kids. Today I have in the studio with me five young friends. Five robot friends who are here to help me talk about the future. We have here some pretty sophisticated machines. In their low power mode, they are simple data collectors with crude synthetic voices. But here, let me turn one of these little gizmos on high. Now notice how almost human the voice can get. Tell us, Robot One, what do you predict will happen in the future?
I am known as R1, nicknamed Katie. In the future, I predict all robots will have high competency reasoning circuits, allowing us to go beyond input response. We will be able to initiate action and thought. In simple English, we will be able to think for ourselves.
You're almost there now. Robot 2, what do you predict?
Bleep, bloop, bleep.
Oh, the power mode.
R2, nicknamed Glenn. In the future, our viewing apparatus will be full color.
I hope that happens for you soon. You do miss a lot without color. What do you say, 3?
Nickname Anne. I predict robots will be made to look bleep, more appealing.
I think you all look splendid the way you are now. The blue smoked mirror out the front on the front, all those colored touch pads, those whirling things on top.
In the future, I predict we will look more like you, Jackie Jackson.
Like me?
With faces that smile.
How touching. Okay, Robot 4, we're getting to you.
I am R4, nicknamed Dana. I am able to predict a time when robots will enjoy leisure periods. There will be robot TV shows with robot entertainers. The most talented of these will be contracted to entertain humans. The less talented will be offered jobs doing stunts, or maybe in TV sports, such as boxing.
Robot 5, what do you have to say?
R5, nicknamed Luke. My analytical center tells me robots and sports will be a sure thing in the future. Bionic robots will not require helmets, shoulder pads, face masks, or high salaries. Will replace human football and baseball players. This will happen when coaches discover how quickly an injured robot can be returned to the field. Soon after that, people will become fat, lazy, always watching, no longer participating in sports.
Well, that's a sad description to end on. But thank you, robot friends, for your interesting predictions. The future. At times, we all look forward to it eagerly. We put forth positive predictions and then work to make them happen. This let's work to make it happen sort of prediction is what President John Kennedy did in the early 1960s when he challenged America to put a man on the moon. The future. Sometimes it looks bleak. We worry about our environment. We worry about nuclear war. We worry about losing our freedoms, being controlled by others. Author George Orwell made a sort of let's not let it happen prediction when he wrote a book describing a future world he was afraid might really come to pass.
Whoop, Jackie?
Yes, R1?
We can help you remember Orwell's book. We once helped set up a 4-hour-minute library. We are loaded with information about books they may of service.
Sure, let's hear what data you've stored.
Searching.
Orwell future.
Searching.
Gee, I wish my memory could be tapped so easily.
I believe I found the book you spoke of, Jackie.
Searching.
Found. Winston lived in a world where the police patrol could snoop on everyone.
That's the book.
Patrol helicopters hovered outside people's windows, watching, always watching.
There were two-way communication devices located throughout homes and offices to spy on people. Posters everywhere reminded people, Big Brother is watching you.
Winston and his fellow beings could be arrested for thinking unapproved thoughts.
Arrested and vaporized without a trial.
That's the book. Copyright?
1949.
Title?
1984.
That's a very famous book. Orwell wrote 1984 almost 40 years ago about what he feared was in store for future generations if people did not guard freedom for themselves and others. What do you think? Could his predictions come true in this century, in this country? Do you think all the freedoms our founding fathers set down for us in the Constitution will still be around in the year 2084? The future. It isn't what it used to be. For a long time on this earth, the future did not look any different from the present, or the past, for that matter. I imagine that primitive people did not think much beyond the next day or the next week. Where is our next mastodon coming from? At any rate, the future in those days did not mean rapid change as it does today. Of course, there were changes occurring over time. But without history books to show what life was like from year to year, primitive people were unaware of change, especially slow change. The problem today is that people are bombarded by change and the prospect of an unrecognizable future. Books? They may not exist in the future. Information may be transmitted entirely by computer and video devices. Space? The question is no longer will people ever live in space, but when. The unrecognizable future, it boggles the mind.
Bleep, bleep.
You are experiencing future shock?
Future shock. I seem to recall reading a book about that.
Future shock is a sickness.
A disorientation.
A bombardment of the senses.
Resulting from the shock of rapid change.
Oh yes, that book was by...
Alvin Toffler, copyright 1970.
And if I remember right, future shock occurs when, say, we have to figure out how to use the new computerized card catalog at the library.
That is not hard.
Well, you're programmed into the system. People aren't programmed. And when people have to react to changes on a daily basis, we feel overloaded. We become homesick for the way things used to be. And when you add in real problems like energy shortages, population control, pollution, nuclear war, computerization of everything.
Computerization often brings about greater efficiency and...
Well, yes, to human beings it can be a shock. The future. Whether it be the future of life on Earth or in space, it certainly makes interesting reading and writing.
Reading? Bleep, bleep. Bzz. My memory bank contains 2,167 futuristic science fiction entries. Would you like me to list them?
No! No, thank you, R2, but we don't have time for all 2,000 entries.
Correction, 2,167.
Yes, right. I was about to ask you to maybe name a few so that we have an idea of what was written.
Affirmative. Please suggest a specific category.
How about space travel?
Searching. Bleep, bleep.
And can you give us title, author, and a summary statement?
Bleep. Search completed. Request accepted. Entry. Bleep. S is for Space by Ray Bradbury. A collection of 16 science fiction stories. Smoothly written. Imaginative. Entry. Bleep. Tunnel in the Sky by Robert Heinlein. Adventure book about space travel. Very suspenseful. Entry. Bleep. A Wrinkle in Time by Madeline L. Ng. Children travel through time and space to save their scientist father.
Bradbury, Heinlein, and Lengel. That's quite a trio. They all write great stuff. Now, try this category, R2. The future on Earth.
Bleep, bleep.
Beyond the century.
Bleep, bleep, bleep. John Christopher. John Christopher. John Christopher. Among the many books this author has written are three books in which machines, creatures called tripods, control the Earth. Earth children are turned into slaves when steel caps are placed on their skulls.
Fascinating. What about the future use of robots? Do your memory banks contain robot stories? I see you are all eager to share this information.
Entry. I, Robot by Isaac Asimov. A collection of short stories about robots of the past and future.
The Runaway Robot by Lester Del Rey. A boy and a robot run away together.
Andy Buckram's Tin Men by Carol Riley Brink. Tin can robots come to life when struck by lightning.
The possibility of tin can robots does not compute.
Oh, poor R5. Didn't they program you with any imagination? Listen, I know you robots could go on endlessly listing books.
Bleep, bleep. Searching for title.
Now wait, please. We don't have time for any more titles.
This one you will want to take time for. Entry. Bleep. The Endless Pavement.
Searching.
By Jackie Jackson and William Perlmutter.
Bleep, bleep, bleep.
Well, what can I say?
The Endless Pavement is a Let's Not Let It Happen prediction. It describes a bleak future in which automobiles take over the world.
People live in homeroles and work in assemble-roles. They eat multi-flavored cow super cow sticks, which they get from the Eats-a-Rolla.
People's legs don't work and they have no freedom of movement. They keep rolling on the no-snow pavement according to schedule.
At the School-a-Rolla, the children practice tightening lug nuts, testing circuits and bolting plenum tubes, as directed in the teacher self-kit.
The day begins with the pledge.
I pledge allegiance
to the great autos and to the concrete on which they roll.
One pavement, under four, indivisible.
With mobility and power steering
for all.
No need to hurry, no need to worry. Life is regulated. Thank you, robots, for your help.
It is our mission to serve.
And you have, nicely. But I'd like to give our listeners a mission, a fun one, and maybe a bit scary, too. The mission is for them to write about the future. I'm wondering what their Let's Not Let This Happen stories might be, or their Let's Work to Make It Happen predictions. Maybe you kids have ideas about, say, schools in the future, what you want or don't want them to be like. If you do, tell us. What Pledge of Allegiance do you hear? What are the desks like? What are the kids learning? And don't forget to tell us how far into the future your imagination has taken you. 100 years? 1,000? You could write a story which takes place entirely in the future, or one which involves getting there. It could be as simple as Rip Van Winkle falling asleep and waking up in 100 years, or more technical, like Madeline L'Engle's Tesseract method. Or maybe you'll go through a time machine of some sort.
Maybe like Peter Pan, they will fly. Whip, whip. Second star to the right. Straight on till morning.
I wouldn't follow Peter Pan's map, remember? He didn't want to grow up to adult responsibilities.
Future Shock, a classic case.
Well, whatever you write about, whether it's a story, a prediction, or just thoughts, whether it's serious or funny, whether it takes place in a matter of years or centuries, send it to us. Your writing may have a future here on Reading and Writing and Radio. We may be able to read it on a future show.
In the future, school will be a big steel dome with bubble windows under the ocean. You will learn about sea life and how not to destroy the ocean. In history class, you will learn about Jacques Cousteau and his work to save the sea.
In the future, we could look at a page in our math books, blink our eyes, and whammo, we would know it. We could go through 50 pages a day.
I think traveling schools are the wave of the future. You would go to each state or country and stay there 4 days. We would study the place, but still have math, language, and writing. The classroom would be an 8-person camper. There would be 2 campers to make a school. I think it would be great, don't you?
It is the year 2000. A loud voice says, "It's 7 o'clock and time to get up." As I get out of bed, I walk into a machine that dresses me and carries me downstairs. It sets me in a chair in the kitchen. Another voice asks what I want to eat. I hardly have a chance to say what I want before a hot plate with pancakes is shoved at me. I finish and a robot brings me the newspaper to read. I read the paper and then go to work in an electric car driven by a robot. When I get to work, I am set in an assembly line where I put my piece of robot together. I'm tired of robots. I think cleaning the house, cooking, and making decisions would be fun.
Our thanks to actors Glenn Huff of Franklin Middle School, Luke Radlinski of Owen Marsh Elementary, Katie Grimes of City Day School, Ann Glatz of Ball Elementary, and Dana Doherty of Little Flower School.